I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right.
Hello.
Listen, think about this.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. A couple things from last break. First of all, Jane has written me on a couple of these notes.
It's Jane.
It's Jane. She said, Bowie devastated me too. But you know who really surprised me how devastated I was? Olivia Newton-John. I wouldn't have guessed. I would have been so upset. But that felt like losing a part of my childhood. I really loved her too.
That's the point I was trying to make too, Jane, is that the Mike Ness story, a friend wrote, oh no, Mike Ness. And I thought, oh no, he's died.
Right.
I hadn't heard that he's just isn't the right word, but he's got stage one cancer in his throat.
He feels good. I mean, just so you know, the prognosis is good.
But it was one of those where I saw that and then I realized, oh my God.
I care very deeply about this.
I didn't know I loved him so much. So I get that. I totally get what Jane just said.
She also said, that was hilarious how nostalgic simple phone calls felt just now. Mm-hmm. Sweet little butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, and I would love to do like Phone Call Friday or Phony Friday or something. But, you know, it's tough because a lot of times you put on a cell phone and they're, hold on, I'm going through a tunnel. Just doesn't always sound awesome. But we'll try to look for opportunities to get more people on the air. I think that's really fun.
That was when I was a baby DJ, my favorite thing. This was before I worked with you. Yeah. And I remember when I started working with you, you were like, let's start the recorder. And I'm like, no, just plunk that down.
Yeah. Well, we played a lot more music and we had time to record phone calls. But you were right. As soon as we started doing them live on the air, there's just such an added element of things could really go wrong.
Or great.
Or great.
And that was the thing. I did this night show.
It just juiced the excitement up.
And I would just, you're on the air. It's like the best feeling in the world, that live on the air.
Yeah. So people ask you for something, you're like, nah, there's no chance in hell I'm going to play that for you. Next call.
Well,
we don't really take requests here.
Right, stop it.
Talk to our program director. I've got a whole list of songs I'm going to play for you. Oh, that's our college radio. You know, I know a lot of people who started in college radio, and they really could just craft their own show and play what they wanted.
Yeah.
And you never get that experience anywhere else ever again, just so you know, baby DJs out there. I guess maybe if you're a club DJ, then you get to play whatever you want.
You still got to play. Like, you could
something
be
that
the too cool for the room guy who never gets hired again.
You don't want to be
like,
that guy.
That's not, you're not, you're done.
You got to get those people going. Okay, this part of the show, we're going to finally get to that, is brought to you by our not-so-secret drag show. We are so, I can't wait for this. I just love getting out and seeing our listeners and having just a fun old time. It's happening June 24th. A fun old time. God, Jesus, who am I? It's at August Hall in San Francisco, and which used to be Ruby Sky. And we used to do a ton of stuff there back in the day. It's a big venue. It's a lot of fun. There's not a bad place to be in the house because there's a big balcony up the top. That, by the way, is sold out. So we had some VIP tickets there. It's a guaranteed entrance, and it was like, I don't know what it was, $20 or something, and those are gone. But there is still room for you, and all you have to do is go to AugustHallSF.com and RSVP that you're coming, and then you're on our list, and you can get in. You know, get there early. The doors open at noon, so there's a little hint for you. And our show starts at about 1 o'clock. But this is the big Pride weekend, and it's all about Pride. We're doing a drag show.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of special guests, and it's going to be a very fun secret show, and we hope that you can join us for that. So, yeah. So VIP tickets are sold out. We do have those to give away, though. 8 o'clock, your first chance. And the whole thing brought to you by Hornitos. Tequila. Delicioso. I'm going to start with, I guess I'll do the Jenna Ortega stuff because I was just talking about Wednesday. Jenna stepped in it a little bit with the writers.
Yeah, she did.
A ways back. But it turns out she wasn't lying about it. Wednesday, season 2, Jenna Ortega is talking about this has been renewed. And she says season 2 is going to replace Love with Horror. It's going to be more horror.
Okay.
She is a producer for the second season of Wednesday, unlike the first. And I was reading, I read a couple articles about this earlier today, and she says that, you know, she's young, and she's been apparently acting and getting roles and stuff since she was about 12. And so she's young, and she's also short. And she says that that is also, she is, so she'd be in a room full of male directors, male writers, people telling her how a girl would feel and what her words would be. And she never felt like that was valid. And so she, because I think, you know how sometimes people, you know, they yell louder because they feel so, they feel small. And she said she's always sort of really tried to stand up for herself. And she did a lot of things early on that she's like, I wish I had at least asked to do that differently. And then when she got for her own show Wednesday, and Tim Burton was actually like, let's hear what Jenna has to say. And Jenna would say what she thought. And that grew. And so she's always tried now to make it distinct what she thinks that a character would do.
I think if you, I don't know how much time people spend thinking about being an actor or what that must be like. But
must
I've certainly,
awesome.
Well,
all my life I think about that.
You've got someone who writes the script. You've got a director telling you how they want the scene to look, so it kind of can lead you to believe they don't do much. They say the words they're fed,
right?
And the director, but in reality, a lot of actors, especially if you're good enough to get to that point, they want it to be collaborative and the,
right?
You know,
they
want to
have input. They feel that they're embodying the character.
Jim Carrey is someone who, you know, looks at a script and turns it into a clown show, you
right.
know, like that's, you wouldn't want to say, no, Jim, dial it back a little.
Right.
Like
you hired him.
What'd you hire him for?
Because
if you don't
he's Jim
right,
Carrey.
You want him to be a lunatic.
Remember when we were on the side of, so Vinny and I, you know, we have a very long and storied filmatic career. One of the movies that we're in, one of our awesome award-winning movies that we're in is Patch Adams.
Right.
I think your elbow's in it. And I got cut out because my elbows were dirty, something like that. So we were on set, and it was Philip Seymour Hoffman and Robin Williams
right.
And they're in the hospital situation, and they're going down heading down the hallway, and they do it straight from by the script a couple times. They run it. I mean, what did we run that scene? 40 times? I can't remember how many times.
So I don't even know.
Oh, they didn't throw you out. They put softeners on your shoes.
They got rid of me quick.
So we do it a couple times and he's doing it straight. In fact, by the second time you're like, oh, that's the line and here's the thing. And then as though this was what, and I'm sure it was, what they'd been doing the whole time. They're like, okay, let's Robin take a couple passes at some, and he ad-libbed his way down that hall the rest of the times. And they shoot the whole thing and they're trying to, they'll pull the best part of that. I don't really know what made it into the movie, but it was fascinating to watch and clearly part of how he works.
Right. It would be interesting to hear someone in that business talk about that more often. The idea that you're someone who's, this is your role. This is your big starring role. Don't you want it to be show you in
yes.
the best possible. So what's the balancing act between not pissing the writers
yes.
and the directors off and
not
also
being a thorn in people's side
and also getting that role to look the way
it.
You
right.
want it to. And so I do understand what you were saying about Jenna Ortega in that my wife is a small lady and she's been in big meetings and boardrooms and she finds herself, she's just like, ugh, I'm so small and I'm so soft-spoken that I find myself, do I give up or do I overcompensate?
Right.
Neither look is good.
Right.
So there's a tear there.
Right. I mean, and I would say in a male-dominated situation, it can be really hard for a woman to speak up and argue for herself. And I say, go Jenna. You know, good. I'm sure it was hard to do. So anyway, Jenna Ortega, who got some crap from the writers because she was talking about how she really changed a lot of what her character said in that first season. She's now going to be a producer for the second season of Wednesday. She's already having conversations with Tim Burton and the team. Here's her quote. We decided we wanted to lean into the horror aspect of the show a little bit more because it's so lighthearted. And a show like this with vampires and werewolves and superpowers, you don't want to take yourself too seriously. We're ditching any romantic love interest for Wednesday, which is really great. We're going to get bolder, more dark. There is a love thing in the first one, sort of. An interested party, I should say. And I guess she's going to get rid of that. Let's see. Wednesday, line changes after backlash. I really put my foot down. I've been told on sets, you wouldn't know because you're not a writer. Or just shut up and do your job. When she did have something to say. And so she's being very nice about Tim Burton's sort of saying, let's hear what Wednesday has to say about this.
Yeah.
There was one line in particular. It was something about, she's just, here it is. Let's see. She completely acts this line from the script. There was a line about like this dress she has to wear for a school dance. And she said, oh my God, I love it. I can't believe I said that. I literally hate myself. And Ortega said that had to go. There were times on the set I almost became unprofessional in the sense where I just started changing lines. She was like, she would never say that. She wouldn't say that. I literally hate myself. So anyway, I don't know how that'll go, but I tell you, that's first season, excellent.
Well, and they have a hit on their hands, so let's hope they can find the balance, because I know my daughter watched every episode twice and is waiting for the next season.
Uh-huh.
She's into it.
Speaking of like producers and shows, Tom Holland, who recently, you've probably seen ads for this, especially if you're watching Ted Lasso on Apple TV, because they're showing promos for this constantly. There's a show, it's a series, it looks like, called The Crowded Room. And it's hard to wrap your head around what it might be about. It looks like sort of a psychological thriller, like he might be a nice guy, he might be a psychopath, he might have committed these crimes, he might be being framed. Like, that's sort of what I grabbed from it. And it's, Tom Holland's a mystery to me because he was a Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he is sort of compelling once you start watching him. But when you see a picture of Tom Holland, I'm always just like, that guy? And then you see him in a role and you're like, okay, all right, I guess spend a little time. And I didn't watch any of his Spider-Man things.
Oh, I have.
Oh, and what did you think? Do you agree with that?
I liked him. I liked him in the role,
so
and
he
I liked
you
him.
Over and-
he had a, if I'm thinking of it, and I haven't watched him in a while, he had a pretty neat little relationship with Robert Downey Jr. Like, they kind of had.
I saw a cameo in one of the Avengers ones.
I liked it. I liked the way they played them.
Okay.
I thought it was good. So
he is talking about how he made this show, The Crowded Room, and it took so much out of him that he's quitting for a year. He's like, I am not going to work for a year. And he's a pretty young guy. He says, it was a tough time for sure. We were exploring emotions that I have definitely never experienced before. And then on top of that, being a producer, dealing with the day-to-day problems that come on any set. Oh, man, I can't make my... Hold on. My computer is frozen.
Oh, no.
Anyway, he's basically saying that because he produced on it, too, it wasn't just that he was throwing himself into this character and having to act this part, but he was also having to deal with some of the day-to-day problems that are on a set, which I always think a producer is just a title that they throw someone.
Yeah.
And he's saying, no, I was...
He had to do stuff.
He had to do more stuff, so...
Well, good. I think... One of the most, how do I word this? One of the coolest things about being a successful artist is that you do have the right to schedule yourself.
Yes.
Successful is the key word there.
You're not grinding.
You've made it.
Right. He's got Spider-Man money.
Right. So now he's in a position where he can say, I don't need that role, or I'm going to take a break to recharge my battery.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that means he sits at his house in his mansion and just watches TV or goes and travels the world.
Sure.
Whatever that is, he gets to do
he
that.
He does get to.
That's pretty great.
Imagine that. Like, that is such a luxury. It's such a thing to be able to just say, you know what? I'm a little burnt out. I'm going to go ahead and...
I would never down talk what it is we do because I love it, but it is every day.
And you need that battery recharge. There's no question.
Every day, and there's no doubt. But even our vacations, there's no taking a year off at this.
No. In fact, I get antsy. Like, at the end of a week, I'm just like, all right, talking my family's ear off. So much to say. Anyway, my computer has failed me, but I want to tell you about Bam Margera. Bam Margera, who is sort of famous for his problems, he was picked up a few days ago on a 5150 hold at, I want to say, Danny Trejo's taco place. They found him there and took him in, and he has been released as of yesterday, and he went straight to Lamar Odom's
rehab
facility. And he's got three of them, the Lamar things. But I'm just going to assume that it's one that's in, he's got two in Southern California, one in Huntington Beach and another one like in San Diego. So he went to one of those and Lamar is like, I am going to take this guy under my wing and I'm going to.
A lot of people have tried to do that though. So, and that's good. He should try. I hope that he's able to help him, but I don't, he's a tough case right now. Like Steve-O tried to help him and, you know, when you hear one of the quotes I heard was, he wants to see his son, as anyone would.
Yes.
Okay, you want to see your son. But you're also, addiction has you by the throat. You're
yes.
not someone who should be around your son until you get some days under your belt here. But to have threatened his, he threatens his wife, I'm going to smoke crack till I die
until
if
I
you
die.
Don't let me see my kid. Which is like, okay, bye. Like, what
because,
are my options
right,
here?
I'm not going to let him see the crackhead.
Right. It's just so... And for him, that's addiction, though.
Right.
He can't even see it.
He's like, I'm being completely rational. You let me see him or I smoke myself to death with crack.
You don't even see.
What don't you get about it?
That is beyond belief, but it is exactly what addiction is.
Right. Well,
it's very sad
for Bam, and it's just nothing. Every time I see a Bam Margera story... I'm always just like, oh God, what is it? What is it now? Okay, so my computer looks like it may have just come back to life.
All right,
there we go. Look at that. Here is Bryn. I hope you have this. This is from the other day.
Oh, what is it?
It's the Michael J. Fox. This is sad, but Michael J. Fox recovered in a way that, you know, this is a guy who has not lost his sense of humor. You may have perhaps watched his. He's got like a Netflix documentary about himself. Still is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And he's been suffering from Parkinson's for years and years and years. And it was early onset and it's really taken him. He was at a convention called Fan Expo in Philly over this past weekend. And he fell. But he fell in the best possible way.
Onto a bed.
Onto a couch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was headed for the couch. He was trying to get to the couch, and he made it to the couch in a not a very graceful way. So he did a panel with the Back to the Future co-stars, Christopher Lloyd, who plays the crazy doc, and Tom Wilson, who played Biff. And as he took the stage and was making his way up to the couch where he was going to sit, he trips and he falls forward, landing on the couch. He even played it off by jumping to his feet and then back down onto the couch, and he tossed.
Oh, there it is.
So he's fine. But honestly, if that couch wasn't there, it would have been a problem. So his rep says he's doing great, but it's still scary watching him fall, especially since he just talked about how dangerous that can be for Parkinson's sufferers. He had said in his... in the documentary, now I've started to break stuff. I broke this arm and this arm. I broke this elbow. I broke my face. I broke my hand from falling, which is a big killer with Parkinson's. So I don't know if you want to throw that up on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page, but if you want to take look. I really just wanted to say, you know, that I think I can't be alone in loving that guy. I just have always had a good feeling about Michael J. Fox, and I feel like his struggle, he's done it very publicly, and that... can only help other people who suffer from that. And I wish him well, and I hope he doesn't fall anymore. That's just awful. Mm.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. I like to think I'm unstoppable every day. All the days. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, unstoppable today. Go to radioalice.com/contest. We're unstoppable there too. All the cool giveaways are there. We have so much going on right now. Go and check that out. While you're there, browse around. Take a look at the latest news stories and get our show's full podcast.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. When you're almost 60... you know a thing or two about community giving. Fremont Bank recently helped out our furry friends and those who love them when it donated to Sunnyvale's Animal Assisted Happiness and Max's Helping Paws Foundation in Carmel. Why does Fremont Bank support local causes? Find out at FremontBank.com today. For some reason, I'm still watching the basketball. Maybe you are too, but the Nuggets won last night. They're up 2-1 in the series. The next game is tomorrow at 5:30. There's that.
It's fun to watch athletes at that level. You know, that's...
I love... Yeah.
Are you like... So you're not... You have not picked a side. You're just watching the game and you just enjoy the game.
I just enjoy it. It's... Yeah. It's the finals and... I'm not invested in it, but it is something that I can have on that's not a repeat.
Sure. Right.
And you know how fast I watch TV, so it's, you know, there I am with a laptop in and out of the room. It's not, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm not so invested that I'm like, everybody shut up!
I care deeply about this!
Anyway, this story, I got a text from my mom. Sandy texted in. And
oh, hey, Mom.
She
wrote,
Sandy. Never. And I'm like,
Goodness. Never what?
Leaving the kids home alone.
Oh, that's
back to
when
the story
you,
that
I
we
see.
Right.
Oh, well, I mean, she had you and Keith.
Yep. It's good for kids to learn to be independent at a young age, but that doesn't mean you have to give them a golden opportunity to throw a kegger in your house.
Yeah, don't. That's not good.
Turns out Gen Z, they're not even into keggers.
Yeah.
So
is my kid Gen
yeah.
Z? Okay.
Yep.
All right. I never know exactly. I will say that I did let them stay home alone as they were in their later teens.
Mm-hmm.
And I, with stern warnings of there will be no partying. And then I would make all my neighbors, they all have my number. So I was like, keep an eye on the house. If you see a bunch of cars, it's a hard no.
Well, now I would say, and I didn't even think of this before I sort of got ready to do the story, but most homes have 10 cameras around the house now. So
yes.
the first friend that rings the doorbell is going to be on your app and the SIP.
Right. And you go, yes, they're on the approved list.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
That's we'll
exactly
see who else shows up.
What is that guy doing there?
Yeah.
That guy's trouble. You know what I mean?
You know how you always talk about the party that you were at where you pulled all the steaks out and started throwing them on the grill and stuff,
was,
you know, just those house
wasn't
parties.
That was a party. That was a lot of parties. Go on.
Right. So, and I don't know if everybody had, like when I was a kid, if you told anybody that your parents were out of town and that you were having like just a few friends over, like I had a few friends over and they told a few friends and then there every town around there, because I lived in cow country, like it was people just from everywhere to the point where at one point I'm like, the cops are here.
Oh, you mean at the party you
at
threw?
At the party, I didn't throw it. I thought I threw this little party.
How old were you when this happened?
Well, I was...
Because you just told us at the start of the show, you were like, people made fun of you, you were picked on.
It doesn't matter if you get made fun of or picked on. If you are throwing a party that kids can go to...
They come over anyway?
They're not there for you. They're there for a place to party. Vinny, they're going to eat the steaks. Whose house were the steaks at? Did you even know?
No, but I was never someone who'd made fun of the person and then been like, hi, I'm here in your house.
At this point, when this happened and our house was trashed and a bunch of my dad's stuff got stolen, like it was really bad. My brother was a senior in high school and I was he was a junior in high school and I was away at college. And I said, let's have a little party when I get back there. I invited a few of my friends and he told a few people at
this
school.
Happened and you were college age?
Yeah, I was. I was 18.
Oh, I thought you were talking like 15.
Oh no, this was my brother was like 15. Well, he was 16, I guess. And we just, I mean, by the time the party was an hour old, I didn't know anyone there. The place was just getting hammered,
destroyed. Yeah, people
it was awful.
Destroyed. My friend Brian threw a party where I grew up. It was just tract homes as far as you can see. Yeah. All brand new. They just mow down orange groves and put up a new track. It never stopped.
Right. Until the whole of Orange County had no more oranges.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, his family had just bought this new home. The yard hadn't even been put in yet.
Oh.
It was a dirt front yard on a rainy night.
Oh.
That kid, he threw a party. The carpet was completely mudded. Everywhere. Mudded. Not one person went, maybe we should take our shoes off.
Well, there was too much mud in the house to take your shoes off.
Right. Brand new carpet.
Oh, it's awful.
There was no way to save it. There's no cleaning that. There was no...
No.
So when his parents got home, he had to say, we have to recarpet the whole house. The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yee.
That's probably, you know, just some of what they had to do in the brand new house. I mean, that is just, it's heartbreaking to think. If it had happened to my kids, though, I would have said, listen, I told you that story about the time that we had that party that was out of control. I told you about that. How could you do this to me?
And then you'd go, I wanted to change the carpet anyway. Wink, wink. It's cool. We're totally into redoing the carpet, right?
We don't have any carpet. It's all hardwood.
Oh.
I don't want to redo the hardwood.
Oh, well, you wouldn't have had that problem then.
Oh, really?
Mop
I just
up,
make the
hardwood.
Kid mop it. All right.
Anyway, back to the story. When is it safe to leave your kid home alone? 14% say they'd feel okay with a kid who's at least 13.
Oh,
that's
seems
way too
young for an overnight
I
alone.
Will say this, though. I do think it's about knowing your own kid.
And knowing your neighbors and where you live. But yes, the individual kid's
the thing. My mom wouldn't have left me or Keith
never.
Home alone. And so her answer, never.
Sandy is never.
Because she knew us. Yeah. I would have thrown a party. Keith would have been in so much, like,
yeah.
Anything I did, he would have been by 10.
No.
Because he was just.
I cannot imagine you times 10. Your poor mom. Oh, Sandy. Sandy, I feel you.
So anyway, when is it safe to leave your kid home alone? Not for the evening, but for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
It looks like 16. Is the age when people feel most comfortable. By then...
Yeah, it is knowing your kid, because certain kids at 16, not an effing chance. My kids at 16, they were like, yeah, we're going to schedule a thing on Minecraft, and we're going to have a whole great night of it with all our friends online. It'll be great. It's like, all right, nerds, have a great weekend. See you later.
Yeah, I don't, right. I feel pretty comfortable with them, too.
Yeah. Oh, those kids are great.
Good boys.
Good. They are good boys. Yeah, good boys.
Right.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? We are, Mommy. That's right. You are.
Right. Okay. I'm going to save your marriage here.
Oh, well, my God. It needs saving. We're on the rocks.
Some couples have found they benefit from sleeping in different beds.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Others feel like it's healthier for their relationship if they sleep in the same bed.
Yeah, all right. Usually the person who thinks that is the one who's actually getting sleep at night. And
that's the snorer.
Right.
The one who's like, oh, we should stay together.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Why are you
leaving? I'm leaving because of that the sound you make all night long. Anyway.
All night long. All night.
They say here that, and these are experts, surveyed 15,000 people, finding over a quarter of the participants admitted they sleep better when they sleep solo. And I just, yes, of course. But here's one of the things. I just recently told you this story, too. Christina came to bed early one night, and I was just walking into the room to go to bed, and she was already in there, like 8:30 or something. And I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just tired. I'm just going to. And I'm like, well, but why are you in here? Get out of here. Like, yeah. I didn't say that, but I'm just like.
Did you go, I'll go sleep in my other room?
Well, I didn't, but I should have because I didn't sleep and it was weird and it's definitely not something I'm used to on a weeknight. I got enough trouble sleeping on any given night as it is, especially on work nights.
I feel you so
And
deeply.
the whole like, what are we, the Bradys? We're in bed together like with the blankies pulled up to our, you know, reading a, like, you remember the Bradys?
Yeah, sure.
They'd sit there and the kids would come in and they're like all perfectly spread out.
Right, with their butts, right?
Hey,
the
kids,
pillows plumped just so.
What were you going to tell us? Anyway, I can't do it. I need a little time. They say here, if you don't have the luxury of sleeping in separate beds, in separate rooms, I should say, you need to give falling asleep 90 minutes before your partner can save your marriage.
Oh.
And that's the point I'm making, which is you need that time by yourself to get soundly asleep.
Yes.
Beat them there.
Yes.
Then they can come in and do their
Stagger
thing without.
It.
And I.
But
you know,
they better not wake you up.
Well.
Because that's a problem. You know, the person who there's. Like, John is super sensitive to noise. You could literally drop every pan in the house right outside my door and I wouldn't wake up. It's light that gets me. Any change in the light in the room and I am wide awake.
Really?
Yes. It's crazy. I like sound just doesn't bother me. And he's the exact opposite. Like in the morning, I'm so quiet when I go in to get into my closet. I go into the thing. I pull the door closed. I'm very, just run the water a little bit. Just so I'm just like, because I know I'll wake him up and then he'll be laying there for hours.
They say here on top of the frustration that comes from not being able to get sleep, now you're prone to arguments because you're tired and stressed from fatigue. Pressure can impact someone's ability to control their emotions and respond to situations calmly and rationally.
We've been talking about it for years. A good night's sleep is the key to so many things being better in your life.
So,
because you're like better equipped to deal with them.
They say here, 90 minutes is the optimal time between jumping into bed with your significant other. It allows one person to get to a deep sleep stage before the other person even gets into bed. I'm 100% in agreement with that. Yes.
I think, though, the clock starts when you get in the bed if you do this staggered thing. Like, not everybody can fall right to sleep. And now you're worried about, I gotta be asleep before this person comes in. And another thing I would say is, if you, not only can you be less equipped to deal with someone, you more arguments, but you blame that other person for your crappy night's sleep and for the mood that you're in. Like, it's, I have found that we are, well, look, John and I are a pretty happy couple and we are, now we're blissful because we never sleep in the same room anymore.
Mm.
No, it's because sleeping is just about sleeping. After the marital bed, I'll bang you in the bed. Then I gotta go. I'm gonna go over to my room.
I will say this to that, which is, how many couples are still spooning or like We don't even do that.
Right.
So it isn't necessary for us to be in the same bed.
Right.
Because we're not doing anything.
We're just trying to sleep.
You could practically tape a line down the middle of the bed. And if, you know, I'll find some junk of hers on my side and be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Get back over
here. I mean, it's true. But people, it is about that.
What's your phone
people
doing?
People look at us horrified when we tell them we sleep in separate rooms. They're like horrified. And the minute my kid moved out, I was like, that's my room. The minute. I had my eye on that thing for years. I'm like, get out. I need a room.
Here's speaking of marriage.
All right.
Because we
marriage.
Were.
Yeah, marriage is good.
Actually, you could definitely be partners without being married. But
that
this
is
about a wedding and the craziness it comes with.
All right.
So there's a Reddit page
God,
about
Reddit.
Wedding shaming, about the people who are nuts.
There are so many.
A bride is upset that she can't control the family planning of her wedding party. That's right. This bride says, I talked with my wedding party and asked them, please don't get pregnant. This is my day. I don't want any trouble with the dresses not fitting. Or I think it's more about stealing someone's thunder, isn't it?
It could be, especially if they make the announcement at your wedding. That's bad form. But is it also that they want to have a bachelorette party thrown for them where everyone gets wasted and we go out and we club all night? Yeah.
From the very beginning, several times, I asked my girls if they were okay waiting to have babies or another baby until after my wedding. I wanted no stress on dealing with dresses fitting correctly and whatever else. I think it's the whatever else, this whole...
Yeah.
I swear to you...
I don't like this at all.
I can tell you a story. I remember being at work. I remember where it happened. I was at work and I'm walking through the sales office in Oregon where I did radio for a while. And this lady, who's pregnant, is holding court. She has the entire female sales staff around her, and they're all talking baby talk. Like, oh my God. And I just went, babies.
Mm.
They're a thing.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they take over a room like nothing else. So that's, I guess, where I'm coming from is that whole,
stealing
here's a bride.
Her thunder.
Is like, I know what babies do to a room.
Right.
They take it over.
I don't want any of those in my room.
Anyway, so they're caught. All the people commented, of course.
Yeah, she's the a-hole for the record. You know, is this one of those, am I the a-hole? Because I'm mad. Like, honestly, please stop. Don't.
Can you imagine? Actually, I wouldn't have even thought of it to tell my friends. I mean,
try
I guess
not
my
to
friends
get, right.
don't get pregnant because they're boys, but still. You'd think
really
that,
anything. Just, you know, try not to break your arm before the safe. Like, don't just stop it. Let other people have their lives. And if this person gets pregnant, why would you be stressed about their dress? Like, just tell them you're not out of the wedding party. You can't be in the wedding party because you can't fit in the dress. The end. Now get out. It's their problem. God, this lady. Believe me, they don't want to be in your wedding party anyway. You sound like a real prize.
Yeah, that's not good.
Nobody likes you.
Our text number is 800-400-3697.
People. God, we suck.
415 says, I wake up at 3 a.m. for work every day, for work and snore. My female partner refuses to sleep separately, even though I'm the issue. That's great. If it doesn't bother her, then why would...
Right.
Like, that's great.
Yeah. Unless it bothers him.
Well, I don't know.
You look, you know, it's not for everybody, but it is awesome.
Wait, Sarah goes into the closet in the morning? Isn't her radio attire pajamas most of the year with no bra?
Some days I do have to get dressed. Plus, like, my toothbrush is in there, and the floor's heated in that one, so I really like that bathroom.
Wait. Hold on a minute.
Yeah?
It just occurred to me.
What?
So you're telling me you sleep in a separate room, but walk back into the bedroom where...
Oh, I don't have to go into the bedroom. So there's a door and to a tiny little... one inside this little room beyond the door is a door to the bathroom and a door to the bedroom. So I walk through the little vestibule into the bathroom.
Oh, so you're not anywhere...
And bathroom and closet, by the way, are both in that side.
Got
I don't
it.
Have to go into that room at all, but I'm quiet.
Wow.
As I can be. Quiet as a little mouse. some days I'm much more successful than others.
You have a vestibule.
We do. We have a small vestibule in our house. We have a laundry hamper in there, Vin.
I'm going to Google a vestibule as soon as we're done here.
I want a vestibule.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
You probably have a vestibule.
I definitely do not.
It's like a room that has, let's say, elevators in it. That's like a vestibule. That there's exits from that room, or you know, the
you
front
have elevators.
No, I'm saying vestibule is like a word for a room that contains other doors. I think.
Nice.
I think it is. I don't know why I said vestibule. It's just a little hallway.
What'd you do to Bryn?
I don't know. Bryn has not been paying attention to this show.
I am paying attention.
You're strangely quiet today. What did she do to you?
My phone's broken. I'm trying to contact some people to work something out, and my phone's just stuck on the Apple screen.
Oh, no. Do you want my phone? You have my phone.
No, it's okay. My contacts are there.
Right.
Everything's on there. So I'm trying to email and do stuff, but we do have a big
break. Did you try turning it on and off?
Well, it's stuck on the Apple. So I did Google that. You can hold the up and down volume buttons and hold the power.
Yeah, the hard reset. Sure, are we doing that?
We'll hook you up with Android.
Oh, yeah, that might work.
All the Android people are going to have a field day with this.
Save my day. That'd be awesome.
All right,
don't do that, so.
Did we look up vestibule? Is that
it's a passage, hall, or room on the outer door and the interior of a building, it says.
Okay.
So
I want to come ride your elevator, though. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's really fun. It goes sideways and everything. Whips does a loop-de-loop.
415 says, at least Vinny only stole steaks. You stole a guy's Coke while babysitting. Is that true?
That is true.
I don't remember that story.
I can't believe that. And by the way, I didn't steal the Coke. Somebody I invited to the party, I threw it at this guy's house, stole that guy's Coke.
And you didn't do any?
No, I was 15, I think.
Oh, you weren't there yet.
I didn't even know that the guy. It would never occur to me to go through someone's drawers when I was a babysitter. Like, I just wanted to have my little boyfriend over, and then he brings his friends, and then there's all the whole thing going on.
And
I'm
then
like,
they found someone.
Apparently, they found. I didn't even know that any Coke was in the house until later, when the guy called to complain to my parents that I was wasted when I left, and that his Coke was stolen. Yes, it was terrible. It's one of my hugest regrets in life to be in charge of someone's child. And you got wasted. Oh, boy.
You didn't do Coke. You just had drinks.
No, I just had drinks. Oh. I made out with my boyfriend.
You know what's weird? I never think of Coke being something that sticks around. The only people The only people I ever knew, they got it, and that was what they did until it was gone.
I wondered, actually, because, you know, the very next day he was calling about it, I wondered if they came home to do that after having eaten and gone out for a nice meal, and then he looked and went, oh my God, my night is ruined.
My stash is gone.
God, what a loser I was. Oh, I hate that story so much.
That's
thanks
funny.
For remembering
Someone remembered it.
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.